In these times of uncertainty, many of us are feeling anxious and worried. Economic influences bring job insecurity and jittery markets. We're feeling health concerns, whether it's testing for the COVID-19 or postponed surgeries. We have relational concerns as families are together day in and day out. There's concerns about our children and their education. We have so many anxieties impacting our world that I wanted to bring our attention to one of the passages of Scripture that has been encouraging and comforting to me. Jesus, speaking to his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount, tells us, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. And he tells us why. We can cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. I remember on one occasion I had a friend who was taking a ferry ride out from Rhode Island to where I was serving as a pastoral intern on Block Island. My friend told me they've never been seasick, but they hadn't experienced the rise and fall and swaying back and forth of a ferry boat and the engine smoke coming down, and pretty soon they were seasick. Then there was an old salty who came up to us and said, the way to not be seasick is to keep your eyes on the horizon. Don't look at the waves, keep your eyes focused on the horizon. And that's the way Jesus begins this passage, to put our focus on him, to have the right priorities in life. He begins in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? You know that word anxious? It's the idea of having a divided mind, to be distracted. Do you remember Mary and Martha when Jesus came to visit? Mary was focused on Jesus. Martha was distracted. That word distracted has the idea of anxiety. When we get our eyes off of the horizon, what's most important, and we get distracted by the waves and storms of life, we can feel anxious. It reminds me of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. All of a sudden, a storm comes up. The waves are rising and falling, and as they are fearful of their lives, they see Jesus walking across. Jesus invites Peter to come to him. Peter gets out of the boat, and he's walking towards Jesus, and he's doing great until he looks down at the stormy seas, and he begins to sink. That's what our lives are like when we take our eyes off of the priority of our relationship with God and the assurance that we have in him. We have become distracted and thus anxious. Paul tells us to not be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication to let our requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The second part of this passage focuses on a perspective. And Jesus wants us to remember how much our Heavenly Father values each one of us personally. And here's one of my favorite commands. He says, look at the birds. Look at the birds. That's a command of God. As we enjoy this spring season and the birds are chirping, we look around. Jesus says, look at the birds. And as he says to look at the birds, he says, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I remember I was very anxious during college. It was my senior year. wasn't sure what the future was going to hold, what direction I should go for education or profession. And in that anxiety, I was reminded of this passage of Scripture. I was reminded that the Heavenly Father cares for us. I wrote a little rendition, you might say, of this passage of Scripture. I'll call it the Wheaton College version of this passage of Scripture. And it was God comforting me. Listen to this rendition. Therefore, do not worry about your studies and grades to keep your graduate school expectations alive or your GPA high. Surely college life is more than studies and courses are more than grades. Look at the squirrels between the bookstore and the student ministry center. They do not sow or reap or store in barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them, sometimes by way of your classmates with dining hall leftovers. You are worth much more than squirrels. Is there a student among you who by being anxious can result in insomnia that can add even a plus to his grade? So why be anxious about your studies? Consider how the flowers grow along the walkways. They do not work, they do not spin, and yet even wise and wealthy Solomon, all his splendor, was not attired like one of these. But if that is how God provides for the grass on campus, which is here today, and tomorrow trampled under by students who are cutting across because they're late for class, will he not all the more care for you? How little faith you have. Well, God brought comfort to me. He took care of that future. And as we reflect on the perspective of life and focus on what is most important, we find assurance. And if we have the perspective that our Heavenly Father values us and is caring for our needs day by day, that will help us not to be anxious. The opposite of worry and anxiety is trust. Faith in our Heavenly Father. This teaching of Jesus is preceded by the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer focuses on our Heavenly Father and that each day we can bring our concerns to Him. Would you pray the Lord's Prayer with me? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You see, that prayer precedes these promises that our Heavenly Father will meet our daily needs. Day by day, He meets each need. And that's the third point in this passage, the promise. Our Heavenly Father knows our daily needs. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Our Heavenly Father knows each of our needs. He knows our daily needs. As we meditate on the character of God, that He's a loving, caring Father, He knows us, He rules over the universe, and He is just, and He knows just what is best for us, and that He's working all things together for good to them who love God. He then, the Lord Jesus, tells us to pursue His rule and righteousness. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and after that all these things shall be added unto you. You think about that. Seek first the kingdom of God. Well, what's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God focuses on that God is ruling over this whole universe. God is reigning. We can trust in His rule over our lives. You know, He teaches a lot about the kingdom of God. And I just want to reflect on that for a moment. He talks about how to enter the kingdom of God. And he says we need to have the humility of a child. He says, unless we come like a little child, we shall not enter the kingdom of God. Unless we recognize our need for him, our need to trust him, we cannot enter his kingdom. I remember the story of the publican who was coming to pray, and the Pharisee was looking at the publican and thanking God that he wasn't like this poor publican, this tax collector. And then the tax collector simply bowed before God and said, God, be merciful to be a sinner. Entry into the kingdom of God comes through humbly recognizing our need and putting our trust in him alone. That kingdom that God has, the rule over our lives, gives us joy and peace with this confidence that he's in charge, even in these troubled times, to fulfill his purpose and his plans. And one day, that king, the king who came the first time to suffer and die for us, he's coming again. He has a plan for all of history, and we can entrust our lives to him. We need to pursue his rule and his righteousness in our lives to find peace in these troubling times and not to be anxious. Lastly, he says, place the responsibilities and opportunities of today over the concerns about tomorrow. He concludes this passage, therefore, don't be worried about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Each day. Think about today. You wake up today and I go, oh, Lord, what a great day. What a beautiful day. Oh, my goodness. What's happening in the world around me? I can worry or I can focus today on what God has given me the opportunity to do. If you worry, you're assuming something bad might happen in the future. You're assuming that someone or something will be hurt or harmed. You believe worry will help solve the problem. But here's what Jesus says. Concentrate on what you can do today. Focus on today. Take one day at a time. Don't borrow problems from tomorrow. My mom would say, don't cross that bridge until you get to it. Concentrate on what you can do today. Secondly, take constructive action on what you can do today. I always tell my students, if you're worried about a test, the best thing to do is to study for the test. Concentrate on the actions you can do, and the things you can't do, convert to prayer. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Concentrate on what you can do today. Take constructive action. Cast your cares in prayer. And then I would suggest care for your body. Take that long walk in the morning. Get the fresh air. Get rest. Eat well. Take your vitamin C. Care for your body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That will help you with the anxiety. Then communicate. Communicate with family and friends. We're all going through this together. Keep in touch. Encourage others. Don't travel this life alone. Share your concerns with those who are on a similar journey. And lastly, look outward to serve. Worry is an inward focus. I want us to change our focus. Jesus wants us to put our focus on him. And then I would say, put our focus on serving others. Pastor Bob will mention our ministry to the food pantry on Fridays. I'm so excited about this one college student who came home very disappointed that his semester had been interrupted. All his plans were interrupted. But he quickly changed his focus from self to serve. He went back to work at the grocery store where they really needed his help. Then he volunteered in the food pantry to serve. He could have focused on what his self would miss out on or he could focus on what he could serve to help others. Anxiety can override us, but if we keep our focus on the horizon and not the instability of what's around us, we can find God's peace. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that in this troubling time when we're so unsure, economics, jobs, health, this unstable world where a little troubling time in our hearts cause us to be so anxious and worried. Lord, we want to bring those needs to you today. We want to put our focus on you and to prioritize our relationship with you. And we thank you that as we cast our cares upon you today, you care for us, that you are the God who's ruling the universe. And if we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, you'll take care of all those other concerns we have. In your perfect timing and in your perfect way, you work all things together for good to them who love you, to them who are called according to your purpose. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.